Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is January 27th, 2013, and I'm your host, Ken Milne. This is the 21st SGEM episode, and it's entitled Ice, Ice, Baby. Now, the SGEM is a knowledge translation dissemination project. We know that it can take an average of 10 years for high-quality, clinically relevant information to reach the patient's bedside. The SGEM's goal is to shorten that KT window down to less than 1 year. How? Well, we take high-impact, important papers recently published, and we do an evidence-based medicine critical or skeptical review. Then, we use social media as a disruptive technology to turn MedEd on its head. Rather than the trickle-down model of the gray hairs, no hairs, and opinion leaders giving you the information, the SGEM wants to empower frontline emergency medicine providers and have the best evidence bubble up. Using a weekly podcast, active Twitter feed, a Facebook page, and I could always use more likes on Facebook, and a YouTube channel. This FOMED, or Free Open Access to Medical Education, provides the latest, greatest EBM critically appraised information to give you, the SGEM listeners, the best evidence, so you can provide patients with the best care. So stop, collaborate, and listen. The SGEM is back with a brand new edition. Now everybody knows why I went into medicine and not music. Well, the case scenario for today's podcast is a 72-year-old man who has a witnessed arrest while watching his grandson's hockey game. A bystander performs CPR, and the patient is shocked out of V-fib using an automatic external defibrillator. The paramedics arrive and find the patient with vital signs stable, but the patient is unconscious. They call base hospital and ask if they should start cooling en route. The reason for the request is that there's been a great deal of interest in cooling patients post-cardiac arrest. Two randomized control trials showed that hypothermia post-cardiac arrest was neuroprotective. One European trial, which had an N of 273, was published in the New England Journal of Medicine back in 2002. So 12 years ago, we're past the KT window of average 10 years. And they used cooled air mattresses to demonstrate good outcome at 6 months. Now, the difference was 55% of people versus 39% of people. So 55% of people had a good outcome if they were cooled versus 39%. Now, there was a smaller Australian study with an N of 77, and it was also published in the New England Journal back in 2002. And it showed good neurologic outcome at time of hospital discharge. 49% versus 26%. So pretty dramatic. Well, David Newman has done a great little NNT on this on his website, thennt.com, and he's calculated that the NNT for mild therapeutic hypothermia for neuroprotection post CPR resuscitation was 6. Now, I can't do an SGEM podcast without mentioning the Cochrane collaboration. And they've done a Cochrane review, and they just updated it actually in 2012. And they concluded, quote, conventional cooling methods to induce mild therapeutic hypothermia seems to improve survival and neurologic outcome after cardiac arrest. Our review supports the current best medical practices as recommended by the International Resuscitation Guidelines. End of quote. So the question for today's podcast is, does pre-hospital therapeutic hypothermia improve patient outcome after successful resuscitation? Now, I don't want a whole bunch of laughing out there from the Australians and the Americans saying, ooh, well, isn't everybody who arrives by ambulance in Canada already hypothermic? No, we have a summer. Right now it's cold, but we do have a summer. So not everyone who arrives EMS or by paramedics arrives hypothermic. The reference to answer this question is a study actually done by Bernard et al., the induction of therapeutic hypothermia by paramedics after resuscitation from out-of-hospital ventricular fibrillation cardiac arrest, a randomized control trial. And this was published in Circulation 2010. The population in this study, they had 234 adults with out-of-hospital cardiac arrest with an initial rhythm of V-fib. The intervention was pre-hospital rapid infusion of 2 liters of ice-cold Ringer's. Then the control group, they had cooling, but the cooling was done after a hospital admission. For their outcomes, what they looked at was functional status at hospital discharge. Patients who were discharged directly home or to a rehab facility were considered to have a favorable outcome. So it was considered a win if you got to go home or to rehab. Now, patients who died, bad, or were discharged to a long-term nursing facility, either conscious or unconscious, were considered unfavorable. So I think these are reasonable. They had exclusion criteria. You couldn't be intubated. You couldn't already be dependent on others for your activities of daily living. You couldn't already be hypothermic, and you couldn't be pregnant. The results? Well, patients allocated to the paramedic cooling group received almost 2 liters of ice-cold Ringer's lactate. Yeah, it was 1.9 liters. So close to 2 liters, which was their protocol. And the mean decrease in core temperature was 0.8 degrees Celsius. And so this was considered significant. However, both of these outcomes would not be considered patient-oriented outcome. The patient doesn't care whether they got 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 2 liters, whatever. They also don't care if they were half a degree, a full degree, 2 degrees cooler. What they care about is favorable neurologic outcome. And in this study, they did not. They did not show a difference between the two groups. About half, 47.5% in the paramedic cooled group and 52.6% in the hospital cool group had a favorable outcome at hospital discharge. So there was no difference. The author's conclusion in this study were, quote, in adults who have been resuscitated from out-of-hospital cardiac arrest with an initial cardiac rhythm of V-fib, paramedic cooling with rapid infusion of large volumes of ice-cold intravenous fluids decreased core temperature at hospital arrival, but was not shown to improve outcome at hospital discharge compared with cooling commencing in the hospital. End of quote. From a best evidence and emergency medicine perspective, made the following comments. There has been a great deal of interest in the last decade with cooling because of some of these studies. Now, there's been some laboratory studies to suggest that cooling would be better. Therefore, it was a reasonable hypothesis generated that perhaps pre-hospital cooling, and a lot more is taking place pre-hospital, perhaps pre-hospital cooling by paramedics would improve outcome. Now, this study was stopped prematurely. They did a sample size calculation in order to detect a favorable outcome of somewhere between 45 to 60%. And when they did that calculation, when they did that power calculation, they figured out that they need a sample size of 372 patients to achieve an 80% power of detecting a type 1 error of 0.05. Now, just to remind everybody and to sneak some EBM in here, an alpha error or a type 1 error is when you incorrectly reject a true null hypothesis. And a null hypothesis means there's no difference. So you reject a true null hypothesis. Another way to think of a type 1 or alpha error is that it's a false positive. So a type 1 error can lead you to think that the relationship exists or that there is a difference when there actually isn't. Now, they had planned to do an interim analysis after 200 patients, and this is why the study was stopped prematurely. So they stopped it prematurely when they had a planned interim analysis. And after 200 patients, they noted no difference between the primary outcome, and they felt that it was extremely unlikely that a difference would be found between the two groups. Although the results of this trial do not support pre-hospital use of hypothermia, there are caveats to the interpretation. One is that the transportation times for the paramedics were relatively short. Living in a rural area myself and practicing in a rural area, perhaps places with longer transportation times might benefit from starting pre-hospital hypothermia protocols. In addition, future investigations should investigate whether the treatment started during CPR prior to the return of spontaneous circulation. So in this study, you got 1 liter of non-cooled fluid first. All patients got that. And then if they got return of spontaneous circulation, that's when they got the rapid infusion. So perhaps you have to start the rapid infusion first before the return of spontaneous circulation. You know, the bottom line to all of this is scoop and run. Scoop and run. No cooling is required in the field. We do not have evidence yet that cooling in the field makes a difference. Okay, so the Keener contest, there was no winner last week. No winner to the Keener contest. Now, there's a number of ways I could interpret this. One would be that Lauren Westifer did such a great job that nobody really needed to, you know, play the Keener contest. Just to remind the SJAM listeners, the question was, who should not get the flu shot according to the CDC guidelines? Who should not get it? I guess everybody is getting it. But there are some very specific recommendations with regards to who should not get it. And I've put the link on the blog. I'm not going to tell you here because I want you to do the work and look it up. So you ready for the Keener contest this week? Maybe this one will be a little easier. We'll see. The theme music I used for the show, Ice Ice Baby, that theme music was from Vanilla Ice. But he sampled the beat, the doom 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 boom 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 boom. He sampled that from another artist. Which group had the original song that he sampled that from? And because I didn't have a winner last week, let's make it a double question. So two prizes today, two skeptical prizes. Not only what was the band that did the song that Vanilla Ice sampled from, but they had a featured guest on there doing the lead vocals. So if you know the answer to that question, that two-part question, send your email to thesjam@gmail.com and use Keener Contest in the subject line. I'm hoping to get a whole bunch of answers this time. Now, this will be the last chance for you to sign up for Ski Beam 2013. I head out next week to Silver Star, BC, which is February 4th to 6th when the course takes place. This is the Best Evidence in Emergency Medicine Conference, or BEAM Conference, and it presents critical reviews of practice-changing EM literature from the previous year. Attending Ski Beam can cut your knowledge translation window to less than 1 year. Come on and participate. We'll do a live SJAM episode. We'll do a pubcast at the conference. And in conclusion, don't panic. All bleeding stops eventually. And in honor of Vanilla Ice, word to your mother. Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. We'll talk with you next week.
Yo, man, let's get out of here. Word to your mother.